Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Got a few folks in worship this morning. We got some more live streaming with us this morning. Glad that you are with us. I just want to, you know, in faith, we just trust that 2021 is going to be a better year. Yes? Yes. If you would rise with me as we pray, as we begin our worship this morning. Father, we trust you. When things are going great, we trust you. When we struggle, we trust you because you are good and you love us and your grace is sufficient and your mercies are new every morning. They're fresh. Father, may they be fresh with us today. May your name be high and lifted up today. Send your Holy Spirit in this place. Send your Holy Spirit in every home that is listening. And Father, may at home, may it be more than just listening. May there be worship happening in each and every home. We trust you, we praise you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah. And it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Once you choose it, you can't lose it. There ain't nothing gonna kill my joy.
Praising you, desire of a
Good morning again. Glad that you're with us this morning. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer this morning. Before I do, just kind of FYI, we got several folks that I know are struggling with coronavirus and different things, so we're going to be praying into that here in just a moment. Billy has been exposed but has not tested positive, so be sure. And what?
You
send the kids. Oh, the kids. Do we have children that would like to go to children's church this morning? Parents were panicking. I thought you were just saying hi, Carly. All right, parents, now do this with me. Take a big sigh. Okay, does that feel better? All right. Well, where was I? I don't even. Y'all got me flustered now. Billy's been exposed. He's. I'm hoping Billy's watching this morning, but I know several of our congregation has and is in the midst of that struggle, and we want to continue to lift them up. I got a call yesterday from Gracie Poor. I hope Gracie's watching as well. Gracie, as most of you know, is a precious member of our church, and she turned 100 on December the 31st. And many of you sent her cards and letters, and maybe some of you might have driven by and did a shout out on her birthday. And Gracie asked me to thank you. She was blessed with all of the notes and the cards and so forth. And so, Gracie, we love you. And she is an extraordinary lady, and not just because she reached 100. She's always been an extraordinary lady. So I want to go in, spend some time with the Lord this morning. And so many things, you know, as I said earlier, I believe we need to, as God's people, we need to press in to better things to come. A lot of people struggling, and not even people that have not gotten the virus, just the residual effects. Our children not being able to always go to school, virtual this and virtual that. I won't share who, but I had a little child a couple of months ago that asked if they were going to die from the coronavirus. They didn't have the coronavirus. They asked me if they were going to die, and so man, it's making an impact even on our young people. So if you would go with me to the Lord. Father, I don't know what I'm reminded when you're teaching Jesus, when your teaching became difficult, many of the people began to desert you. They were looking for something from you. They were looking for some sort of food or healing or some sort of blessing. And when your teaching began to get more difficult for them to receive, many of them deserted you. And you turned to the disciples and you said, "Will you too desert me?" When things are difficult, I remember the disciples replied, "Where would we go? Where else would we go? You have the words of life." And so, Father, that's where we are. That's where we find ourselves this morning. Things are difficult. It's been a tough, tough 2020. Some have had loss. Sometimes fear and anxiety has overwhelmed us. But we say to you, where else would we go? You are the giver of life. You are the sustainer of life. You are our hope and our salvation. You are our peace and our joy and our comfort. And there is nothing too difficult for you. You walk with us. Father, we pray for those who have had loss, for those who are right now in the midst of the struggle with this disease or something else. We pray that you would draw near. Your word says you draw near to the brokenhearted. That you are the God of all comfort. You're the Prince of Peace. We trust you. In the midst of the storm, we trust you. You are that solid rock. You are the solid foundation that we stand on, and there is nothing that can overcome you. We ask in the spiritual realm that something would shift. And Father, not just that we would be freed from this virus, but that we would return to you. And Lord, I know it sounds perhaps harsh, but when people don't know you, we can't expect them to behave in such a way that they do know you. But for us, for those of us who are believers, who are the church, Father, may we turn, may we be a holy bride. Because Father, if we turn, I believe the spiritual realm will turn. Give us passion to seek you and to pray on your behalf and for your blessing. Father, I thank you for the faithfulness of this body of believers that we call Wylie United Methodist Church. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people, financial faithfulness and faithfulness in servanthood and love. I pray blessings on them, God. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we praise you. We lift high the name of Jesus, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray this prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, I invite you, we have our offering plates are on the rail up front here, and at home you can give online through our Wylie Methodist app or our WylieMethodist.org website. God bless you.
All of sacrifice of greatest price. Still more awesome than I know. You're my coming king. You're my everything. Still more awesome than I know. And all of you, this morning.
Jeff Hatcher has made the brave decision to let me have the service today. And so, just hang tight as we do this. It'll be a little different. Here we go.
Outside for my
shore. It seems I just get home and it's back off to work. But my breath is in your love. My peace is in your word. And all I need to make it one more day is to walk it your way.
Hello? Y'all can hear me? What if I fix my shirt? Then I'll have it closer to my mouth. Excuse all the static. I'm sorry. Better? Okay. All right. Where's my phone? I just had it. Oh, it's over here. I didn't have it. Okay, so I'm missing a mic. I'm missing two mics. Hold on. Have y'all seen the show Between Two Ferns? This is not it. We have one fern, or the ficus. I don't know who dusted it, but it's pretty clean. It kind of gets overlooked sometimes. Oh, man. Okay, so I'm over here. Does this one work? Does that have an on button? Oh, I like that. It's upside down. Finally ready. Yeah, aren't y'all glad? Today, I have three special guests, and oh, that's getting tired. No wonder it's upside down. And as I'm talking to these special guests, as soon as you figure out who they are, I want you to yell out their name. Don't be shy. Don't be scared that you'll be wrong. I'd rather somebody be wrong and be loud than be quiet and be right. Don't be scared. Let's put our scripture up there. Do we have it? John 1, 44 through 50. That's okay. I can read it. I took a picture of it on my phone. Wait a minute. That's not it. It's Romans. It's Romans. Hold on. Phones are so great. See how we burn up so much time? You thought I'd only last 5 minutes. Sent. It was Romans something. Got it. Yes, I should have it memorized. Dad would know. Romans chapter 10, 9 through 11. That is our scripture that we're talking about today. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version, I believe. It says, because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The title of today's message, with some help from my special guest, is Where Were You and What Were You Doing When You Met Christ? So, I hope they're ready. Without any more delay, I'd like y'all to put your hands together. A big round of applause for our three special guests. Are y'all ready, fellas? What door did they come in from? We didn't rehearse that. They're over here. Yeah. Thank y'all so much for coming today. How's it going? Happy New Year. Doing well?
Well.
Check your mics. Make sure that you're heard.
Well.
Nice. Fellas, here we go. We're going to just have an open forum. We're going to talk about how these special people met Christ. So I'm going to go to this one first. I'd like you to tell us your story of how you met Christ. Now, hold on. See, when I moved the mics around, one of my props got messed up. The ficus goes over here.
I didn't go to.
That's better.
All right. Well, my story is a simple one. One day I got off work and it was a long day. And so I was sitting up underneath a fig tree, just kind of taking a rest. And a good friend of mine, Philip, he came up to me and he said, I have met the King of Kings, the man in the law, the man that has come for us. He comes from Nazareth. And I'm like, well, I doubt that because ain't nothing good ever come out of Nazareth. You know, that's kind of ghetto. That just ain't happening. He goes, no.
Wait, what's wrong with Nazareth?
Man, it just kind of, just that place that it's lower end.
Church on every corner or what? Too many food, restaurants?
I wouldn't say a church.
No.
No, I would just say No, it ain't happening, man. Not Nazareth. It just kind of blue collar working, lower income, just nobody good, you know, kind of like yep. I am. And, anyway, I went with him. He drugged me. He said, come with me. Well, I introduce you. So we go, and, as we're walking up, this man says, now there's a man who's a real Israelite. And I'm like, you don't know me. I don't know how you think you know me, but you don't know me. He goes, I knew you when you were underneath the fig tree. And I said, well, truly you are the King of Kings. You are the Son of God. And he goes, well, you only believe because I told you where I knew you from, but you ain't seen nothing yet.
What do you think he meant by that?
He had a lot to come. A lot of miracles were going to be performed, and we were fixing to see the real power of Christ.
What do you two think about that?
I don't know. I still think nothing comes good from there where you are. My mic's not on.
Is there an on switch?
I have no idea. I never didn't have mics back in my day.
You could use your wireless maybe, Jeff.
Testing, testing, testing. Hello, 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 hello. Can you hear me? I thought that was a pretty cool story, bro.
It caught me off guard. Something good came out of Nazareth. Really caught me off guard.
Anyone got a shout out?
Yeah.
You don't get a prize.
Well, you don't get a prize. I'll give you a mint.
I didn't even know Jesus used the word ain't. I mean, that's,
is that what he said, ain't?
Yeah.
Well, ain't, he didn't have higher
you
education.
You ain't seen nothing yet. I didn't know. Is that in the Bible?
Well, yeah, and it became a song later.
All right.
Well, this gentleman here on my right, what's your story?
Well, I was, as you can see, I'm a fisherman. Oh, shoot.
Who are you trying to catch?
I was fishing. Of course, that particular day I was fishing with nets, and had my boat out all day and hadn't caught anything. Pulled up on the shore, and this teacher got into our boat and we pushed out on the shore a little bit and talked for a little bit, and he said, hey, let's go back out and fish. I told him that I had been fishing all night. We hadn't caught anything. He said, just trust me. Let's go out. We cast our nets, and you wouldn't believe it, I caught more fish that day than I've ever caught in my life. So much the net was ripping. We called another boat over, and they caught a full net. We hauled in so many fish that our boats were sinking. We made it back to the shore, and he said, you think that's impressive? I'm going to make you fishers of men. Fishers of men.
Have to buy a better boat. Let me...
got
hey,
it.
I caught one. Okay. Yeah.
What kind of fish were they?
They ain't about this big. Yeah. Little bittians.
Crappie.
this catfish.
Catfish.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that. Sea of Galilee, you got a lot of catfish in it.
So many fish that the boat was about to sink?
Yeah, two of them.
I think that's a fisherman's story, don't you?
It is a fisherman's story, absolutely.
Go for a catch. You know, I was reading along on some of this, and didn't you say something like, because you say, I'll go for a catch?
Yeah. Because we'd been fishing all night. There was no fish out there. But he said to go, and so we went. And when we caught all those fish, I said, surely you are the Son of God. Changed my life.
Life changing.
Yeah.
Anybody got a shout out?
Simon Peter.
That was easy.
We thought Nathaniel would be the hard one.
Smart people.
Yeah, smart people in here. Okay, our last guest. He looks very studious. studying over there. Tell us about your experience.
Well, I was a Jewish leader. I actually was the Jew of the Jews. I was top notch. You know, you heard that song, "Moving On Up." I was moving on up, and I was moving up because I was a Christian hater. I persecuted Christians. Hey. Wait.
They don't want to hear any more of your story.
Yeah. come on now. Y'all right, by the way. Actually, right now I'm Saul, but, so I was a Christian. Ooh. I was a Christian hater and I persecuted Christians and I took them to prison. I took them to death. I hated everything about the Christians, and I was on the walk on the Damascus Road, actually, and I was walking and I had some people with me, and they heard Jesus as well as I did, and he spoke from the heavens, and he spoke to me, and he said, "Why are you persecuting me, Saul?" And he said, I basically in my own words, he said, "I love you and I need you on my team, you know." And he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And I realized, I said, Lord, is that you?" And I knew who it was. I mean, you don't have Jesus talk to you and you don't know who it is, right? So I knew who it was, and he blinded me, and he took me to my knees, and then later he had a man pray for me and remove the scales from my eyes, and I could see again. But at that time, at that very instant, I was a changed man, and I became Paul, and he gave me a new name. But you know what? He also made me a new man. He made me a new man in Jesus.
How did he blind you? What happened?
You know, it's like fish scales. He just completely covered my eyes. I couldn't see a thing. It's kind of slimy. I'm surprised Peter didn't try to catch me.
Blinded him and took his hair, made him a whole new man.
Blinded me and took my hair. I had a whole head of hair.
So it says something about a light. Was it a spotlight or infrared light?
It was the brightest light I've ever seen in my life. Gave me this beautiful tan.
Who did you go to see? Didn't you go somewhere to get your eyes fixed?
Ananias.
Yes.
Is that right? No, Ananias, yeah. Is that nice? Peter, you don't do tell me.
And weren't you hanging out on Judas's? On Straight Street? Do you know anybody on Straight Street?
Is this a test?
Who did you know on Straight Street?
I'm going to fail this test if you give me a test. I've studied.
And so he went to see Judas on Straight Street. I didn't know there was a Straight Street.
I didn't know there was either.
On the way to...
I wasn't very straight.
Yeah. On Straight Street. I just thought that was interesting. Straight Street. Give these guys a round of applause. Very good. So, you know, focusing on the moment, I think that you have to have that moment. That moment in time, it's nearly like time stops. And Jesus intercepts you. And so I want these gentlemen as themselves now. They're not going to embody their characters anymore. They are Robert, Mike, and Jeff. Starting with Mike, if that's okay. I want him to tell you what really happened to him. And what were you doing and where were you when you met Jesus?
Well, I was one of the blessed few that was raised in a Christian home. And we were Baptists, so we were at church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all growing up. We had daily devotionals as a family every night. And, you know, the old Baptist church, you had pews. We didn't have seats. You had pews. And I was 6 years old. I was young, but I knew. And you would sing "Just As I Am" as an invitational. And there's, what, 12, 15, 103 verses. And it would go on and on and on. And you knew God was yanking you, and you had a hold of the pew, and you were white-knuckling it, and you held on. About sixth verse, I finally gave up the ghost and let go and went down and accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, you know, as a young man. I was blessed, very blessed. And, you know, he changed my life at that moment. It took a long time for me to realize, you know, he's a young kid, and then you go through your teenage years and whatnot. But you look back, and it's like you knew he was there, and you knew he was with you, and he never left. And you knew even if you started to stray, he never let go. He never let go. He was always there.
How about you, Jeff?
Well, it's kind of anticlimactic since they've heard my story, but I'll recap it a little bit. Raised just like Mike, was raised in a godly home with a godly mom and dad, and but my Christianity was all up here. When I was 31, went on a walk to Emmaus and had really went out. There's something drawn me to that camp that weekend, and it was the Lord, Holy Spirit. I didn't know it at the time, but went out there with just a lot of brokenness, a lot of sin in my life, a lot of Cheryl and I were not doing that great, and had been married 10 years, and I was making a mess of that, and just received this mercy and grace. I've said it before, but I was deserving of God's wrath, and I received His mercy. And that moment, even though there was a lot of groundwork leading up to that moment, a lot of knowledge and teaching, but I've said it before, you know, standing in a garage doesn't make you a car. And at that moment, I realized God was real. I had a Savior. He loved me. He loved me by name. He died for me, and it rocked my world. I mean, I never had a moment like that ever before or ever since. And it has. That's been 20. That was in 91. So somebody do the math. How many? 29 years. Right? It'd be 30 in October. And I've never recovered from that, and that's a good thing.
That's good. What's you, Robert?
Well, I don't like to talk about this much, but when I was a kid, my mom had a drug problem. She drug us to church every Sunday, Wednesday night, and so I too was raised going to church. Every time the doors were open, we were good Methodists. Believers, and it was due to my mother. My dad was a good man, but my mother was instrumental in making sure that we heard the word. And so on Mother's Day at age 11, I walked the aisle. Couldn't have made my mother any prouder. Yeah, I know the moms like that. Come on now. On Mother's Day, age 11, I walked the aisle and I accepted the Lord and I got baptized. And I was saved. I believe with all my heart that if I died anywhere along the way, that I would have been with Jesus. But it was more head knowledge than it was heart and soul knowledge. And I can remember this like it was yesterday, August of 2005. I just been living this life that was a double life, basically. I was a leader in the church, but I was also just a sorry sinner. And I just, I was in my truck that night, made a mess of my marriage. I was in the truck that night, and I just was coming home from work, and I was just banging on the steering wheel and screaming out to God, help me. I just need your help. Please help me. I can't do this alone, and I've messed it up big time. I'm sure if anybody saw me, they thought there's a lunatic sitting here in this truck just screaming at his, you know, and God met me. He met me that night in that truck, and I came home and I told my wife, I'm different. And I told my family, I'm different. I'm changed. And I was. And he called me in the ministry.
I didn't know how that was going to look. I owned a business. I still own a business, but by golly, I get to do ministry. I'm pretty pumped about that. He called me. He gave me the piano. I didn't play the piano before that. He blessed me with that ministry and learning chords quickly and able to do that. And so, you know, you can accept Jesus when you're a kid or you can accept Jesus along the way, but sometimes, you know, we got to reboot, right? And I had to reboot in August of 2005, and I praise God for it.
Amen. So interesting to me, I think, how we come to Jesus differently. As a kid, in church, the traditional way, the invitation is played, and you know that Jesus is there calling you at a camp, and even in your pickup truck. Jesus can meet you anywhere. My experience was I was maybe 7 or 8, I don't remember. And I'd laid down to go to sleep. And I just called for Dad. And without even thinking it through, I just told him I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. And so he prayed for me, and it was that quick. It was that simple. I was thinking about this morning, how I love the interception in the football games. Sometimes it's like a one-handed interception. The guy's flying through the air and he is right in front of the intended receiver and he intercepts it. And I was thinking, when we're born with a sinful nature. And so, our intended receiver is hell. And Jesus, He's there to intercept us. Amen. And I can just see Him running across the field with one hand and intercepting us and saving our life. I love Nathaniel's story because he sent Philip, just as He sends us sometimes, to go talk to someone else. Anytime that you speak to somebody else about Jesus and you share your faith, that wasn't your idea. That was the Holy Spirit that moved you to do it. I had a disconnect on the Hotel 6 on I-20. And they didn't call for that. It was a mistake. But I drive up the front office, and I'm there to tell them, hey, this is a mess up, you know, I'm not going to do it. Y'all just need to take care of this so we don't turn off the power. And when I drive up, there's this young lady, she may be 16, she's young. And she's pacing back and forth, and I look inside the office, I get out, and the clerk's nowhere to be found. And so I start talking to her a little bit, and she's telling me that, you know, her mom's out looking for a job. They don't have any money. This is her last night at the hotel. She's staying at the hotel taking care of her little brother. This girl has bruises on her face. It's been tough for her. And so I've been thinking about this moment with Jesus a long time. And this was 3 months ago when this happened. And so I asked her, I said, can you remember that moment when you asked Jesus to save you? When was that? Where were you? Do you remember the moment? And she didn't have an answer for me. And so I shared with her the plan of salvation. And she wasn't ready. But Jesus sent that AEP truck over there to turn that hotel off. And I met her instead. Amen. So Jesus intercepted. He will intercept. She didn't, but maybe she did that night. I told her, I said, you know, you can do it by yourself. I know our kids, one of them just did it on his own. He said he did it every day after church in the backseat of the car going home. I told him, well, the first time, did it. So, fellas, thank you. Thank you so much. Let me turn this one off. back on this one. No. So as the last part of this, I want you to just take a big deep breath. Everybody together, ready? I need one too. You ready? Big deep breath. All the way down in your gut. Do it again. I want you to close your eyes. And I know you've probably already thought of it, but think of it again. Think of the moment. There has to be that moment. If you ask the thief on the cross, he could tell you the moment that he accepted Christ. Last minute, man, he cut it close. But he could tell you. And for some of us, a lot has happened since we accepted Christ. But, is this on? I don't think so. There it is. A lot has happened since you accepted Christ. But he hasn't changed. And he hasn't changed his promise to you. He didn't go through all the trouble of dying on the cross just to go, you know, you've messed up too many times and this isn't going to work out. Jesus doesn't do that. So look back on that moment. No, doesn't matter how long ago it was or how recent. Look back on that moment. When clouds veil sun and disaster comes, oh my soul, oh my soul. When waters rise and hope takes flight, oh my soul, oh my soul, oh my soul. Ever faithful, ever true, you I know you never let go.
Never let go, you never.
never let go. You never let go. You never let go. Sun and rain, joy and pain, you're the same. You never let go. Sun and rain, joy and pain, you're the same, you never let go. You never let go, you never let go, you never let go. You never let go, you never let go, you never let go.
Thank you, Trevor. I think it's so good to be reminded that of that moment. And, you know, I want to also say that sometimes, Cheryl and I have talked about this, that sometimes, you know, for me, I tell people that I needed a thunderstorm. She just needed a gentle rain, just maybe a little mist. But that moment is sometimes... there can be a lot leading up to that moment. You know, as Trevor has led us to be reminded of the gift that we have in Christ Jesus, I think it's appropriate that leads us into Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. I want to set the scene. I've done this before, but I think it's important as Trevor mentioned, as several of us as we talked this morning mentioned, you know, there is no sin greater than the grace of God. You know, the scripture tells us that blasphemy, which is the rejection of God, is an unforgivable sin. When we reject God, there's nothing God can do about that. But as far as what we find ourselves, the messiness of life, I think each one of us, as we shared this morning, all four of us talked about something that we didn't have our act together, that moment that we receive that grace of Christ. And I want you to picture yourself in that upper room that night. Jesus has already, he's told the disciples, here's what's coming. Son of Man's we're going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be handed over to the Gentiles, and I'm going to be tried, and I'm going to be unjustly found guilty. I'm going to be punished to death. And on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. He's laid it out for them, and yet he finds himself sharing this last meal with these friends, these disciples, one of which will betray him for money, one of which will deny that he even knows him, and all but the one of the others will desert him, flee when the going gets tough. And yet, Jesus, first thing he did was he washed their feet. He became their servant. And then he took the cup and the bread, and he shared the bread with them. And this had been been observed by the Israelites since their captivity their captivity in Egypt, and they had celebrated this Passover meal where death would pass over the houses of the people who had the blood of the Lamb over their doorway. And Jesus changed the script that night. He said, now this is my body. It's no longer this sacrificed sheep. This is now, I am the Lamb of God, and this is my body given for you, and this is my blood spilt for you. And so if you can just picture this room and picture yourself in the room. Perhaps you've got all kinds of messiness in your life, but you're sitting there and Jesus is ready to serve you the meal. It's for you and it's for me. So this morning, we started using these cups last week, last month, and it worked out pretty well. I want to kind of give you some instructions. You will be given a self-contained cup when you come forward to be served. I would encourage you to open the bread first. If you open the juice first and turn it over to get the bread, it's not going to work out too well for you. So I would open the bread first and partake of the bread, and then you can turn it over and open the juice side and partake in that way. Last month, we kind of had a little traffic jam with people doing that and then waiting for to discard the plastic cup. So there's going to be on these two wing lines, the trash can will be away from you, away from where you get served. So you can be served and then walk away you'll see a little trash can on the floor that you can walk away where the line can keep going, and you can open and partake and then discard your cup. For these two center stations here, there's going to be some trash cans along the back wall. So you can come and be served, and you can go out and discard your cup and then go back to your seat. So this cup, this bread, this cup, this juice is, when we partake of it, we remember the sacrifice. I tell people, this is, when I was a young man, like I said, I'm ashamed to say it, but when I was a young boy, all I saw this was, I'm going to miss the kickoff. That's it. It's Communion Sunday. It's going to take an extra 15 minutes before we get out of here. But I have learned, no, this is a precious, costly meal that's been provided for us by the Lord Jesus. So it begins with repentance. We don't come as a perfect people. We come as a forgiven and redeemed people. So if you will begin in your own heart, if you'll bow your head and just pray your own personal prayer of confession before our holy God. Father, we pray your blessing, your anointing on this cup, this bread, this juice. In the name of Jesus, may they be for us the body and blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Amen. I ask the praise team and the servers and sound team to come forward, please. Christ our Lord invites you to his table. You do not have to be a member of our church or a member of any church. If you have professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've repented of your sins, you're welcome to come and be served in these lines. There'll be two stations there and two stations there. As I said, the trash cans will be as you return out of the line. The invitation is from Christ. Come. Say this. First of all, thank Trevor. Last week, I want to thank Robert for bringing the word, both of those guys. You know, Trevor, I'm not sure we can fit this on the website, but here's the name of his sermon. Where were you at? Where were you and what were you doing when you met Jesus? That's a good question. And so I would follow that question up by saying, if you haven't met him, he wants to meet you. So come and visit with me. I would love to visit with you about that. You can feel free to visit with Trevor as well. Go church. We have good news. Man, if our world ever needs good news, it's now. We have it. His name is Jesus. So go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.